Hey, Gavin.
Hey.
It's Pierre Robert.
Pierre, my buddy. How are you?
Good, thank you. You've been doing a lot of interviews, so I didn't know if you knew which one you were on at this point. So
no, I get a bit, you know. No, I mean, I like it. I love it. It's fun. There's so much going on and wonderful to talk to people, really, and to have in-depth conversations about myself. What could be done? You know? Perfect.
Oh, that's great. It is 93.3 WMMR here in Philadelphia, and we have the great pleasure of joining us on the line, Mr. Gavin Rossdale of Bush. Good day, Gavin.
Hi, Pierre. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. First of all, congratulations. We're recording this interview today, Thursday, and I do a little almanac-like feature I call Pierre's Planner. And earlier in the day, when I was mentioning some of the things that happened in rock and roll, this may have escaped your memory banks, understandably, if it did. But in 1997 today, the debut album from your band, Bush, 16 Stone, was certified as 6 times platinum at that point, having sold 6 million copies. So congratulations on that little anniversary. And do you have any idea how much it's sold now?
No, I don't. I don't know. I think that it's quite a bit more than that, which is incredible. And we did lucked out. Basically, we were the last that had the power of MTV videos and radio and your incredible support. I remember the time when every hit was like common knowledge, even if you didn't like it or not. And it's sad in a way how fragmented the life has become and specialized almost. But yet this pandemic somewhat is bringing us back together and realizing that that's quite a beautiful silver lining to a terrible cloud. You know?
I totally agree. It also, I heard one commentator on CNN say, let's stop saying social distancing, let's say physical distancing, because socially, through something as basic as a telephone call or a Skype or a FaceTime or Zoom or texting or emailing, there's many ways of staying in touch, and many people are taking advantage of it, including musicians, including yourself.
Yeah, but I'm all about like Zoom, Google, all these different platforms. Everyone's got like weird things, but the Zoom has been going pretty fun. I've got a bunch of friends from around the world, like people I grew up with, and there's 4 of us on there, and we just shoot the breeze all day long. They send me all, I don't have to find any memes about this coronavirus. I've got every single one. I have like one entire thread. These guys, that's all they seem to do is find hilarious memes. And now this young man porn star who's really seems to be popping up on everyone's memes. And they sent him to me on the cover of Time magazine. And this guy is really, I mean, I'm presuming he's an adult film actor, and he certainly looked like he was born to be one. And he is getting the rounds. You know, I had one yesterday with Princess William and Kate doing an interview with this dude.
Wow!
Together, it was inappropriately brilliant.
So I'm wondering how you've been spending your time. I'm assuming you're at your home in Los Angeles. Is that correct?
Yeah. I always find myself really busy. You know, I'm a really industrious person. There's always stuff going on, and maybe I got it from my dad, and I think my mum as well. My dad definitely was like really inspiring, always doing things and projects and ideas, and never seemed to sit still. So I've continued to not sit still, and I've been playing a lot of guitar, trying to get my classical guitar down and learn that. And I'm just learning the Cavatina, the theme to Deer Hunter, which I really love, the John Williams piece.
Wow.
And I'm not there yet. I'm like, probably like, it's hard just to get my fingers, to my dumb rock fingers to kind of want to move in that way and that precise. It's really challenging. So I'm doing that. And because I'm doing these different acoustic or solo shows, I've been just trying to learn other people's songs and see what other songs suit me to sing, and going through my own catalog. See, you know, so it's been really, really good for that. And I feel a bit disconnected from the tragedy and the horror of the front lines. You know, those guys, the doctors, nurses, hospital technicians, admissions people, they're seriously on the front line, and the scientists that are figuring it out. You know, I'm just trying to provide a soundtrack through a hard time. So my task is easy, and I'm sort of at everyone's service, you know, at this time, trying to do what I can.
Is Los Angeles noticeably different? I'm sure you have to get out occasionally to do some things. And obviously, when one goes to L.A., one cannot help but notice or be bogged down by the freeways and the sheer amount of congestion that there is. And every video I've seen or news piece that focuses on L.A., first of all, notices that with so many fewer cars on the road, it's much cleaner, much less smog, much more bright skylines. But secondly of all, that the freeways are much less clogged.
Where did I see? I saw some incredible pictures from maybe Delhi or Bombay before and after. It was actually in The Guardian online, so people could check it out, where you can drag across an image and just show the before. When the smog and smoky to now is clear. I mean, you know, you're seeing some phenomenon, you know, great clear waters in Venice. You know, they can see the fish first time ever.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Madrid, there was a great shot of Madrid. Several of the great cities of the world, they've done shots like that. And it was so few people driving, less smog. But I even heard there's less seismic vibrations, which is causing less disturbance to the plates of the Earth. So I guess it goes on several levels.
Wow. Well, it's just an interesting, it's the parallel of the reset. I mean, look, people are struggling. The economy is awful. This is a terrible time. 16 million unemployed Americans, right, the last couple of weeks. And counting, obviously, and growing. That's awful. The healthcare workers, that's awful. And the worst of all, most people suffering and are sick, you know. But then outside of that, on the flip side of it, you know, what can be done, seen through the lens of trying to change oneself or have time for introspection or a time where we realize, man, you know, that was the first time that I have sat and watched a movie with my kids like that for some time, or that's the first time I've played a board game with them for a while. And you just get so caught up in the speed of life. This is like such an incredible lesson in you absolutely can do what you want. We're all doing our job, and thank you for working and running the radio. We all need that. But there's so much time where you can put to really positive use for yourself, you know, and for people around you. I think it can be great. You know, I know people think it's really funny. You just get annoyed at people and this and that. But generally, if you live with people, you know how to tolerate people, understand their foibles. I mean, I've been in a band for all my life. So I have to spend my whole life just trying to tune out other people if they at any point annoy me. You know?
Yes, indeed.
You can't lose your mind about that. That's like step one. You know, don't be a, you know, touchy person around everyone. You know, that'll be cool.
Well, in terms of the kids, you and Gwen share them, but she's out in Oklahoma. So are you doing like 2 weeks at a time? And then, I mean, how do you change off?
Well, we began with 2 weeks with me. I did the first 2 weeks. So I did the kind of teething period when they first left school. Then they had assignments, which was crazy. Then they went to online.
I'd love to see a video of you doing some classes with the kids, like some math classes.
But my 12-year-old getting mad at me. This is in America. We don't do long division like that. You know, don't carry over underneath. I was like, but I got to the right number. Stop beating me up. I'm just trying to help. You know, I get really told off. You know, when kids are frustrated, you know, the first thing they do is like they hit their dad with like 25 words of meanness just to kind of get it off their chest. You know, okay, look, I'm sorry, baby. And you know that by getting annoyed back, like if somebody spoke to me like that in life, I'd be like, I'd have a problem with that. But the kids, they just sometimes they speak in the way that they just can't handle something. One kid I have, I know that, you know, and I don't like any of the hats you got me, you know, whatever, you know, all my shoes suck. Yeah, I'm so sorry, you know. Subtitle, homework is terrible. I hate my school. I hate my life. So I go, yeah, your shoes are terrible.
So you what are the kids' ages?
14, 12, and 6. We're going on 25.
So you had them the first 2 weeks. Then you get them out to Oklahoma. Then when do you pick them up again? I mean, do you have to?
That's what we have to monitor, because you know they're safe. They're on a 10,000 acre ranch. They're doing their thing. They're safe. You know, they come here. It's still unknown. I mean, I prioritizing their safety is all that matters. And I was meant to be in Australia now anyway, so they're not forfeiting time away from me. I mean, they can come to me any day, but then they have to stay. And I think that on the balance of things, they probably prefer their life on a temporary basis, but prefer their life out there because they have so much.
Right. But they go to school in L.A., right?
They go to school in L.A., but right now they go to school on an iPad.
Right.
So they can go anywhere.
Right. So the kids are okay. They're out in the farm country. But you, in the meantime, have been tasked with what you do. And as you say, you're not one that just sits around getting bored. So I love that you did this Instagram Live.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been doing all of that stuff. Like, I did a show yesterday that I'm just sending out to Kerrang, magazine, on their online thing. So I did, like, 6 songs for them. And then I'll get them myself and then put them out slowly across my Instagram. And I've been doing lots of different songs I haven't done for a while. So I've been up to like 15 or 16 different songs now, which makes me feel good. And it would give my band a heart attack to do a set like the ones I'm doing.
Well, for example, you talked about covers. You, in one of those earlier sessions, did the great Cyndi Lauper song, Time After Time. Which was written by Cyndi and one of a gentleman from Philadelphia, a band here called the Hooters, Rob Hyman. And it's a beautiful song, but you said that Chris Traynor of the Bush Band wouldn't exactly sign up to do that particular song, even though you guys...
I played it once for a benefit for Chester Bennington. His wife, Talinda, asked me to play a benefit. And where I do a couple of songs. So I did Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, and I did Time After Time. So I did a little rock song and then a kind of a tender song and slowed it down and did that. And so I actually did it yesterday. I did a nice version of it yesterday, so a better recording of it. And it's such a beautiful song, and it just feels like so much in everyone's intrinsic DNA. You know, just everyone knows that song. It's just part of all of our lives somehow. And I love doing that. So now I'm going to start learning some other songs.
That's cool. You'd mentioned Chris Traynor, as I said, guitarist of Bush. Didn't cotton to that song particularly, although, as I said, you cover Fleetwood Mac. And, so it's interesting that he wouldn't care for Time After Time, but he wouldn't have a problem with Landslide.
He's an anomaly. What can I tell you?
There you go. I don't have too much time with you, but I want to ask you about the new album, which is called The Kingdom. Is it still scheduled for a May release?
No. July 17 is what I heard.
Okay.
I don't exactly know why, but it's not my lane, so I just accept that. It's a little further away than I would like, because I think that I want people to hear it. But I think it's all about getting people to know about it and ramping up to it, I suppose, and it's not my job to know when. But I'm happy it's coming out, and it's so wild, Pierre, because The Kingdom was one of the last songs I wrote Flowers on the Grave and The Kingdom, the last two songs that I wrote for the record. And when I got The Kingdom, I realized that what had been bothering me, what was in my shoe of life, what was in my teeth, like stuck there, that was just pissing me off. And I realized that I just had some run-ins with a couple like self-righteous, judgmental people. I just had been around that a little bit too often and experienced that. And I just was so mad at it. And I realized that when the kingdom popped out of me as a sort of a lyric and as a title and everything, I realized that that was the place, that was the sanctuary that I was always aiming for, that I've been aiming for, that this record is like the rocket fuel, the rocket engine, the release to that place where free thinking, like-minded people, free of judgment, kind, empathetic, open, giving, kind, warm, very much like you, actually. Like, you live in the kingdom. You personify the kingdom to me.
Wow.
As much as we know each other over the years, exactly who you are to me. And so that's what I wanted, to have this sort of beautiful place where people could go and be like, oh, God, we'd have to, oh, what, no idiots here. No, everyone's cool. Everyone's cool here. Wonderful. And so everyone joins in, and it makes it this community of like-minded people. And then we have this pandemic where everybody's forced or allowed to sort of sit and contemplate themselves and reflect on relationships and people and just think. You know, how often do you get time to just think? You don't have to rush and do it, think about something. And so it's really weird to have a record that really is going to stay in people's memory as the time when we went through that pandemic, you know? I mean, it will grow and morph, and people will carry it beyond the pandemic, but Flowers on a Grave and this loneliness, this emptiness, people are just, these are the emotions that people are feeling, you know? I'm not married, I don't have someone living here, so I'm going through this in that way, and some people can really relate to that, and that's quite difficult, you know, it's quite challenging. But this is amazing, the depth that the kingdom has for that, you know, and just
I feel strongly about that. It's weird, right?
I don't think it's weird at all. We just started playing Flowers on a Grave, and I'd like to play it in this interview. Tell me about the song particularly. It's the first single from the record.
Well, it really sums up the band. It's the last song we recorded. We recorded it together. You know, I wrote it up in my bedroom in my house on the drum machine. I wrote 16 Stone on that drum machine. I'd given up my studio because I thought the record was done. I did a couple of things at Tyler's studio. I had nowhere to go. I was working on a song. I got a bit stuck on this song. And I was like, I had about 7 options. So I called Chris. I was like, hey, come around. I got this song I'm working on to help me with this bit. Between this bit and that bit, like a little bit of a riff, what would you play? Because I've been playing this. And he played something like 5 minutes. I was like, that's cool. And I kept it. Then he left and I sang on it. Then the next day we went to the studio, we recorded it. Then Corey came in, he played on it amazing. Then Nick came in, it's the first song that he's recorded with us. And he was devastating on it. So we ended up doing those 2 songs at his studio. And there's something about finishing the record really band strong. And that makes me really happy. It just was devastating. The band was like on fire. The song's on fire. The engineer and guy we work with, who worked with me on the song, Eric Ron, is on fire. And so it just ended the record so strong. And it's going to be weird because it's a terrible time, on one hand, to bring out new music because you've got to make sure it really resonates because people got too much to worry about. So unless it's good enough to get people's attention at a terrible time, it's just like, you know, peeing in the wind, you know? And I think this song and this record has a real way of being really strong around this time, you know? So I'm excited for that, you know, it's given it a lot of gravity.
I like it. In one interview you wrote, it took walking across the mountains to get there, but the delivery and the execution was just instant, and it just sort of felt really cathartic and sort of fell off me like clothes. So that was a really good sign that the energy was right.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt. I like that. It's so funny because I talk all the time and I can't remember half of what I say, you know. And I really do try and not repeat myself because that's, if I start to repeat myself, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to read a quote and then have me say it because then it sounds super disingenuous. So it's fun when I'm like darting around my kind of like word landscape trying.
That was a great analogy, though. 2 more quick questions, because I know they're calling you to go to other stations. But one of them, before the pandemic and the stay-at-home orders started happening, the band got to play a gig in Vegas where you debuted Flowers on a Grave and maybe other songs from the record. I don't know exactly what that gig looked like. But how did they go down, from your perspective, being on the stage, playing these songs to an audience that probably hadn't heard them yet?
Yeah, for sure. It was exhilarating, and I did say that, you know, this is the one time it's going to happen with a song, the first time we play it. And what was amazing, and who expected it to be the last for some time, you know, because I think more about, wow, when will we get to actually do it and play live? So it felt exhilarating, and yet at the same time, it's sadly feels like a lifetime ago, like it's a different life, you know what I mean? It's like a real different time.
Well, I think when we look back on this, you know, like our lives are basically a book with all these different chapters. We get to chapter 47 or something, and we look back, and this is chapter 32. We're going to go, holy shit, that was a crazy, crazy series of chapters there.
For sure. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know what I found also incredible, Pierre, is that when you're searching for a picture, now because of the way our phones organize our pictures, as long as everyone's taking lots of pictures, and I always urge people to take loads of pictures, it's really fun, you see your life through the pictures on your phone. I mean, sometimes for some of us, it's really painful. I have some really painful years I've been through. If I'm delving back to find something and I end up with something to do with other lives and stuff like that, it's, oh my God, moving. And, you know, I'm looking through recently to something and going through aiding my father through his last 5 weeks of his life, you know, before he passed away. That was 2 summers ago. And that is wild because you can see the beginning when I first arrived back and I'm seeing him and then to the final shots of the hearse outside of his house. It's very painful, you know, and you consider that with, like, you know, getting divorced. It's like, that's a lot.
No wonder I can keep writing records.
Well, you've certainly got enough material, my friend. Last thing I want to ask you about, I could talk with you for an hour, but that is not in the cards for today. But last thing I wanted to ask you about is the obvious question of touring. And there was a Breaking Benjamin tour that Bush was scheduled to go out on, I think, in July, a Shed tour. And everyone is kind of in a state of flux as to what concerts will look like and when they will resume. I firmly believe they will resume and we'll get back to normal at some point. I'm just not sure what that point is. Do you?
Well, I think it has to happen at some point. But unfortunately, music is the most powerful art form that everyone reaches to first, right? It's the first thing people do to put a soundtrack to their moment. And yet it's going to be the last piece of the jigsaw to get us all together again. That's going to be when we're whole again. And I can't personally, I mean, obviously, I don't know. So, but all I can say is it feels like, wow, that could be a year away. I don't see how you're going to have social distancing resolved in, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I mean, it's got to be vaccines and passes and, I mean, you know, who's going to risk it? Who's going to let their kids go to a show? You know?
Right.
You're going where? Going to a show? Are you out of your mind?
Well,
you
know? There's another part of the rock and roll experience, too, for folks that are out of work. I think of road crews. I know a lot of friends who are on various road crews, small and large. And all those people, they don't have 401k plans and they don't have medical coverage.
We need to figure out and we need to step up in that area. You know, if everyone can take care of their own, that seems to be the way forward. And I'm as it's unfolding and the time seems really distant, you know, there's a lot of people that have been with us a lot of years and we're all meant to be in Australia right now playing and they, you know what I mean? They will have lives and mortgages and appetites and desires and rights. So obviously we have a lot of people that work for us that just continue to work for us. So there's a core bunch of people that are not affected whatsoever in the immediate circle in my world. So I don't feel like a terrible person, but it does stretch out. There's a wonderful chef. I follow a lot of chefs and some of the best chefs in the world. And Rene Redzepi runs this beautiful restaurant called Noma in Denmark. And I follow him and we, you know, message each other a few times and, you know, thumbs up and saying hello here and there. And he's an incredible, incredible cook. Like his Noma wins like the top number one in the Perrier Top 50 Awards, which is seen as, along with Michelin star, food that's seen as the top of the food world. And he's done this thing where he's reached out to, and it's inspiring me, and if I was a better man, I should be doing it, to anyone who's worked in the previous 10 years for Noma. They've set up a fund to help anyone.
Wow.
Who's experiencing hardship, and they kind of got it, you know. And that would be wonderful for us to look at, you know, road crew that have been with us for the last 10 years and just find out who is in trouble, you know.
Speaking of food, do you cook? Have you made any banana bread? Everyone's making banana bread. I'm curious if you know how to
cook. I haven't made banana bread. I've made a lot of food. Of course, you know, I love to cook, and I've been cooking a lot of vegan food.
I'm a veg.
Not because I'm a vegan at all, but just because I wanted to cook vegan. Because I just sort of felt like the planet, and this is from animals, and everything's from animals. This was like grossed out for a minute, and like I don't like labels, and I'm probably never going to, I'm always going to eat everything because I cook everything, and I'm involved in that cooking and all that stuff. But I don't like factory farming, and I don't like animals that suffer, and so that's why organic meat. But doing a lot of vegan stuff and just finding ways to elevate the vegetables to just be the center of the focus as opposed to being side dishes. But it's just beautiful, you know. Miles Davis said that every musician should be able to cook. So I always took that advice to heart and can, you know, I can cook.
Good.
I can definitely cook.
Oh, very good. Well, the new album is The Kingdom, July 17th, I now believe is the date. At some point, we will see Bush on the road, and I cannot wait to that point and cannot wait to sit down and discuss the album when it comes out.
Oh,
in
man,
more...
it's going to be great, isn't it? Back to the new normal.
Yeah. I can't wait, though, to see you guys again in concert. It's always a great experience. But to when the album comes out, maybe talk with you in more detail about the records. I think there are 12 songs on it. So perhaps we can chat again at that point. But look forward to it. And I wish you all the best in the meantime.
Likewise, buddy. Good to speak to you. Take care.
Thank you, Gavin. Take care. Cheers.
Bye, Pierre.
Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.